Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
11 o'clock here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy. My name's Andy Bunker. That's Randy McMichael.
I am.
You are indeed. And don't let anybody try to tell you any different, all right?
Gotcha.
The NFL No Huddle brought to you by R.S. Andrews. Keep cool. Get an R.S. Andrews Precision AC tune-up. Another way they make you smile. The Solomon Brothers Diamond Text line's open, 404-741-0929. You can reach us on Twitter as well. I'm at TBM929, Randy at RandyMac81. And Khadijah hits me up on Twitter and says, since we're going to talk about this list, because it is list season in the NFL, the top 25 quarterbacks of all time list.
Right.
She said, let's take Matt Ryan out of it, because Matt Ryan's not on the list, all right? They didn't put him on the list. Not one of the 25 best quarterbacks of all time, according to the list makers. How is Russell Wilson on the list, but Kenny the Snake Stabler isn't? How is that possible? There's a lot of issues with this list, all right? Russell Wilson's at number 18.
All time?
Ever.
Good
18th best quarterback of all time.
Good for him.
According to this list. That's high.
Yeah, it is.
That's high for a guy.
Yeah.
Talk about legacies and all of that stuff. Mid-career guy. Number 18 of all time. Ben Roethlisberger, number 19. Kurt Warner, number 20. Jim Kelly, 21. Warren Moon, 22. Fran Tarkenton, 23. Len Dawson, 24. Norm Van Brocklin, number 25.
Who made the list?
A person named Elliot Harrison.
And why are we giving Elliot Harrison any time right now?
It's a list on the internet.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I don't give a damn about this list, really. But the number one quarterback, I'm assuming, is Tom Brady. Number two, Joe Montana.
Correct.
Three, probably Elway.
Nope.
Marino?
Nope.
Who's number three?
Peyton.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah. Peyton Manning's number three.
Johnny Unitas is number four.
Okay.
Otto Graham is number five.
But my thing is,
I can't argue about Norm Van Brocklin and Otto Graham. I never saw him play football.
And I'm sure he didn't see him play either.
Of course not. He looks like he's my age.
Yeah.
Drew Brees is number six ever. In front of Dan Marino, in front of Roger Staubach, in front of John Elway, in front of Aaron Rodgers.
Okay. I'm just mad that Khadijah,
I'm going to try it every day.
I like
Randy's
the whole thing.
Not going to care about any list.
I love the whole thing with the whole Kenny Stabler. That's a great question, because it was like he had to die to get into the Hall of Fame.
He did.
You know what I'm saying? But, I mean, my thing is, you didn't have to tag Squid Billy in, because now he's about to start barking and fussing and getting all upset about it. Don't you talk about Matt Ryan. You know what I mean? But I don't feel like dealing with that right now this morning.
Not into that?
Not into this right now.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it is list season. Hold on, where's our list sounder?
I know, I was wondering. It's list season.
It's list season.
There you go.
Now do you care about the list?
I care about it now.
Because you had the reggae horn?
Yeah, I like that part. But I mean, yeah, it's going to be list after list. I'm surprised Russell is that high, but considering the fact that, you know, he's had a really good career so far.
He's won a lot of football games.
Has he had a better career than Ben Roethlisberger?
No.
I don't think
not
he has
yet.
Either. Not yet.
But I think he's better than Ben Roethlisberger. Though.
I do too.
Yeah.
At this point,
yeah.
But Ben's still a hell of a quarterback.
He's a really good quarterback.
He's a really good quarterback.
Yeah. I mean, Ben is always going to, and I think rightfully so, have to deal with all the other stuff that he brings to the table.
Yeah.
The stuff that's going on now with Antonio Brown and still chirping at guys and not really being like the CEO type that you want as a quarterback. Russell Wilson's never going to have to deal with any of that.
No, he's not.
He is the dictionary definition of what you want a quarterback to be like from a franchise perspective, from a fan. I know people get on him for being, I guess, robotic or whatever, but it's all on purpose. Like everything Russell shows you, he shows you on purpose. Just the man is winning.
Yeah.
Personally, professionally, financially, all of the moves that he's making are calculated and on purpose. Matt Ryan, not on the list. You can get mad about that if you want to. Now you mentioned the Hall of Fame and the fact that Ken Stabler had to wait till he was dead, unfortunately, to be honored that way. I hate when Hall of Fames do that.
Yes.
Same thing happened to Ron Santo in Major League Baseball. I think the same thing happened with Buck O'Neill in Major League Baseball as well. It's awful. Just if people are good enough, honor them when they're alive so they can actually enjoy it.
Right.
If not, though, then you need to do for everyone and every family what you're doing right now for the owner that passed away.
Oh, Pat Bowlen.
Yeah, for Bowlen and his family. Yes. They're still getting him a gold jacket, rightfully so. They're still getting him a ring, rightfully so, and they're going to present it to his family. Junior Seau's family didn't get that.
No.
And I think that that's wrong. I think that if someone is elected to the Hall of Fame and they're not around to accept the honor, then I think the family should get the same type of stuff that that person was going to get when they went into the Hall of Fame. Junior Seau is the most notable example right now. Ken Stabler is another example of that as well. I think, you know, it's a pretty small price to pay to honor the family members of somebody who was obviously a great football player, and in Junior Seau's case, isn't here anymore because of football, right?
Yeah.
Like, honor the family that way.
I mean, and I don't understand why they're – I mean, I can't get upset about the whole Pat Bowlen. Like, why are you making this exception for him?
No.
I mean, but
– No, still, I'm happy they're doing it for him. Just do it for everyone else, too.
Do it for everybody else. But, yeah, it's a shame. But, yeah, 18 for Russ is really high. You're talking about all time? Wow. You know, I don't think he's better than Warren Moon.
Warren Moon's number 22.
Yeah, Warren Moon's –
Warren Moon would have been very – he would have been helped out if he would have been allowed to play in the NFL the first 5 years of his prime instead of having to go to Canada and win. How many Grey Cups did he win? Three or four Grey Cups up there? Yeah, then he came down. He played till he was 42, by the way. Yeah, Warren Moon was a really good quarterback. All right, five things to know about the Falcons before we get into some of these CBA talks. This is from D-Led's article that he dropped yesterday. Falcons 100th season kicks off in less than a month, technically.
Technically.
In the Hall of Fame game, we know that. That's on August 1st. It is crazy how that's sneaking up on you, though. And
yes,
we saw they released the schedule here at 92.9 The Game yesterday. You and I are going to be live and in full effect from Flowery Branch
on
July 22nd. Coming to you live from the opening day of training camp. Two Mondays from, what, this Monday. So we'll be there in less than 3 weeks up there at Flowery Branch, broadcasting live from training camp. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, oh yeah. Last year when I
sweat towels.
Last year was up there for
lots
the
of water.
Last year was up there for the opening day of training camp. It's a great feeling, man, to watch all the fans, the excitement that they have. Because the great thing about when training camp starts, we're all 0-0. That's the thing about it, and you can have optimism about this new season as far as how you think your team's going to do. Falcon fans have always been – they've always been so nice to come over, and they're always coming over, talking to you, and trying to get your perspective on it. It's going to be hot, though.
Oh, it's going to be hot.
And that daggone steam be coming off that damn concrete where our setup is.
Especially if it rains.
Yes, sir.
It makes it into a sauna.
It's a little warm.
And it traps it up underneath that tent as well.
Yeah, and then Eric be the only one with the damn fan.
You can bring a fan.
Yeah, no, Eric has his fan, but he don't let nobody else get none of it.
I want to get one of those.
I got to cool the equipment off.
One of those spray bottles that has a fan on the end of it, and you spray water on yourself.
Sounds good.
But you got to do that during a break, though, because you don't want to get it on the equipment.
Yeah.
Water and microphones would be a bad mix.
That's not a good mix.
Hey, you think I could, I've been thinking about this. This is not going to surprise you that this is something that's been on my mind, and I'm going to ask you for your advice now on the radio.
Okay.
A lot of people... For training camp, it's so hot out there, especially after we're off the air, we go out on the field and watch the guys practice, and there's no shade.
Right.
So a lot of guys wear bucket hats.
Yeah.
Jarvis had his big bucket hat last year.
Remember they gave us the big white ones.
Oh, I didn't give me one.
Oh, you didn't get one?
I didn't get one.
Yeah, they gave us some big white bucket hats.
Oh, they did? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, because I was going to ask, do you think I should get a bucket hat?
Yeah, if you want to.
Okay. Because I kind of want to.
But
I'm going to look really dumb with a bucket hat on.
Why?
I don't know. I had a giant head. I'm going to have to get a 5-gallon bucket hat.
Oh, okay. But no, yeah. They gave us some white hats last year when we were up there. And
the Falcons logo on them?
No, it just had 99 game on it.
Really?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
See, this working during the daytime stuff is really going to pay off. At night, they didn't give us any bucket hats.
Yeah.
I didn't get any bucket hat at night.
Yeah, no, we got the bucket hat. But yeah,
right, good.
It's going to be a lot of fun. Can't wait to get up there, Flowery. And then, you know, the drive is not that bad for my house.
Okay, that's nice for you.
Yeah.
So you're giving me thumbs up on the bucket hat?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay,
man.
Good. I'm going to do that. Tony Gonzalez going into the Hall of Fame. We know that. The 9th inductee from the Falcons.
He's a damn chief.
What? With Falcons ties.
He's a chief.
With Falcons ties. You didn't let me finish the sentence. Yeah. The 9th inductee with Falcons ties going into the Hall of Fame, all right? Tony Gonzalez is going in. That's great. Now, Julio Jones and Grady Jarrett's contract situations. I imagine Julio's deal that day that we're up there, that first day that we're up there, I wouldn't be surprised at all if we get news that July 22nd that it's taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Grady Jarrett's going to happen. They only have, what's today, the 3rd? They only have 12 more days to get that done with Grady before the franchise tag kicks in and it's official.
Right. Well, I'm almost positive that everything should be done by Julio. Maybe the day before training camp, because if not done, Julio ain't coming to training camp.
Yeah, no, he won't be there that Monday.
He won't be there. Yeah,
he'll be there when his contract is done.
When that's done, it'll be there. But, yeah, Grady.
Just like last year.
Unfortunately, you know, they don't have enough to do where they can find a way. And I know this about the salary cap and stuff. If they want to try and get a player signed, they'll find a way to get it done. So, and we're of the mindset here that if they don't get Grady done, they got to get Deion done. You know, you got to get somebody done. Well, they can't do Grady once the season starts or whatever, or the deadline or whatever comes. Mm-hmm. But yeah, they got to find a way to get this done, because you can't go into a offseason with two of your best defenders not signed.
Isn't that a weird rule? What if they decide they want to give Grady a long-term contract 2 weeks into the season?
They can't do it.
They can't do it.
Nope.
Because of the way that the franchise tag rules are written. That's a strange thing.
It's a stupid
Seems like thing. Something that maybe they should work on.
That's why they should eliminate the franchise tag.
I agree with
along
you.
Along with the fifth-year option.
100%. Yeah. Now, that brings us to the conversation about the collective bargaining agreement topics.
Yeah.
Because there's 9 things that are on the table as talks are going to start for the CBA. Apparently, July 17th, 18th, and 19th. The two sides are going to get together and really start going over some of the preliminary subject matter that they want to get into at the CBA. One of the things is the revenue split.
Mm-hmm.
And tell me which of these you think is most likely to actually be accomplished.
All right.
You think they can handle the revenue split?
No.
Because right now it's 48-52 in favor of the owners.
No.
You don't think they can get that closer to 50-50?
Nope.
49-51?
Maybe.
48.5?
No.
No?
No.
I'm with you. I wish they could.
I wish they could, but I don't see that happening.
NBA is 50-50.
I know.
And it's funny because it seems like that's not that big of a difference.
It's a big deal.
When you're talking about, what, $15 billion a year in terms of revenue,
mm-hmm.
4% of that is a really big deal,
yes,
which is the difference between 52 and 48. You get it 50-50, then you're making so
it
much more money for guys. It's possible to have guaranteed contracts, all that kind of stuff.
It ain't going to be 50-50.
49-51?
No.
Not a chance.
No.
All right. You mentioned the franchise tag. Do you think that that'll even be on the table? Is that something that they could try to talk? Because if I was from the Players Association side,
I'd talk about it.
That's one of the things that I would bring up.
I bring up that in the fifth year option. Yeah, because that it's just unfair. Okay. Yeah. Thank you. I was drafted in the first round. That's great. But yet you're gonna make me have to take a fifth year? No, I don't like that. I don't think that's fair to the players.
No, it's completely unfair.
Yeah.
The fifth year option and the franchise tag are probably the least fair contract rules that the NFL has right
yes.
now. And, you know, guys do get guaranteed money because of it. You've got two guys on the Falcons roster this year that are going to combine for $28 million of guaranteed money
because
of fifth-year options and franchise tags. So that's good, but it definitely limits your ability to enter into the open market and get your market value. If Grady could enter into the open market right now, he'd get a lot more money than what he's getting just on this one-year deal.
Yeah, got a Woj bomb.
Oh, Woj bomb.
Got a Woj bomb.
What do you got?
Memphis has agreed to trade Chandler Parsons to Atlanta for Solomon Hill and Miles Plumlee. So pretty boy Chandler's coming to town. Pretty boy Chandler. All that money and don't play no basketball.
Wendy's happy.
Pretty boy Chandler. So pretty. Oh, yeah, that's what Wendy said. That's bring the ladies out. So pretty boy's in the house.
All right.
All right.
That works. We can transition into that if you want to talk about that. That's fine with me. Coming up in 10 minutes, we're going to let you hear what Darren Eales had to say to Dukes and Bell yesterday. Now, he was on after the U.S. played
right.
England. He's English.
I know.
So I'm interested to hear what he had to say about that game. We'll let you hear that in 10 minutes. And obviously, talk about Atlanta United's game tonight. Looking forward to Atlanta United's game over the weekend as well. Chandler Parsons is one of the most disappointing NBA basketball
dude.
Players in the last 5 years in terms of what he was supposed to be when he got that first big contract.
Yes. Yeah, dude. I mean, he was, you know, where is he, in Houston? And then all of a sudden, you know, he gets all this money and he's supposed to be, you know, this wing player, this two-way wing player. Because, I mean, when he was, before he got, and a lot of it was the injuries and everything.
Yeah.
But before his injuries, he was a really good two-way player, Andy. And now, hey. Everything he done fell off, and he collecting dough and living a life, and I ain't mad at him.
Yeah, I'm going to try to find that exact.
I ain't mad at him.
No, I'm not mad at him at all.
Yeah,
he's making lots of
collect
money.
Collect your dough. But that's another bad contract. Well, they got rid of two bad contracts and taking on another one.
You know how bad Chandler Parsons' contract is?
Yeah.
It is bad enough to account for two other contracts.
Yes.
Because those other two contracts were bad, too.
Yes.
Solomon Hill is, what, $13 million, and Plumlee was right around $11 million.
Yes.
Chandler Parsons is going to make $25 million coming up this season. That is interesting, though, because then instead of two bodies, you only have one.
Yes.
Which maybe enters Vince Carter back into the fray.
And this also goes back to something you said earlier when we were talking about the NBA. Is he a player that's going to contribute as far as take away minutes from your young guys? Or is he just going to sit on the bench looking pretty, making $25 million?
Well, can he even play?
I don't know. That's what I'm saying. What can he give you? Because he doesn't
No. I mean, literally, is he healthy?
That's
can
what
he
I'm
be
saying.
On the floor?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. He's been hurt for the last, 3 years? He's been hurt since he signed that damn deal.
He hurt himself signing the deal.
Yeah.
He's already made $68 million of that deal, and he's got $25 million more coming this year. That right there, that's what I would do if I was going into those NFL collective bargaining agreement meetings. Look at this guy's contract. He hasn't even played a game.
Yep.
We got guys that are so good at football that won't make a fraction of that. And anyway.
NBA, baby.
Chandler Parsons, your newest Atlanta Hawk. Do you think he actually plays or they buy him out?
Oh, God. Oh, I forgot. He is a Gator dude.
I think you'll, oh, yeah, that's
thanks,
right.
Wendy, you for letting like me Gators. Know that.
That's another reason why Wendy likes him. We'll come back and let you hear what Darren Eales had to say to Dukes and Bell yesterday. Interesting conversation, as always, with the president of Atlanta United on the day where Atlanta United has a match tonight right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We'll hear from Darren Eales coming up next right here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy. Hey, you want to watch the Atlanta United game tonight?
Yeah.
You want to watch it with me? What? Hey, I probably can't. 92.9 The Game fans, Atlanta United fans, can watch the game tonight starting at 7 o'clock at Varner's Restaurant and Tavern in Smyrna.
Okay.
For the Atlanta United versus Chicago watch party. We're going to talk to Jason Longshore.
Are you
going to
be there?
I was going to, and then I forgot that the Peachtree Road Race thing is tomorrow. Yeah. What's the point of going to a bar if you can't drink?
I know, because I invited y'all out to dinner tonight.
I know. Yeah. I wanted to go.
Yeah.
We'll do it. Just not tonight, unfortunately. All right, we'll come back. We'll get to an NFL no-huddle, a bunch of different news and notes from around the league, including another list. Top 25 quarterbacks of all time. Where does Matt Ryan rank? Does Matt Ryan rank? We'll get into that coming up next. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Yep. Coming up in 20 minutes, Wendy Adams in studio for the Wendy Zone. We'll get back into the most important audio in the world, top of the 12 o'clock hour as well. And as Randy said, there was a Woj bomb during the last segment. Tanitra talked about it in the Sports Flash as well. The Hawks have made a move. They have brought in another expiring contract and gotten rid of two expiring contracts. Chandler Parsons now on the Hawks roster headed into next season. $25 million contract for Chandler Parsons this coming season, and then he's a free agent the year afterwards.
Correct.
So it's basically the exact same thing they've been doing all along. But instead of having Solomon Hill and Miles Plumlee, now you just have Chandler Parsons.
There you go.
Which means you got space for somebody else, which maybe brings Vince Carter back into the fray. Because I was worried with all the bodies that they had brought in here, the contracts, the draft picks, and everybody else, you wouldn't be able to do that. So maybe this makes that possible. Anyway, we'll get back into that a little bit later. Do want to let you know also, Atlanta United supporters, that you can join 92.9 The Game in Peach Pass on Sunday, this Sunday, starting at 9 a.m. in Lot A of the Gulch with the Esperanza Supporters Club. 92.9 The Game has prize giveaways. Peach Pass will have soccer games to get you ready for the match as well. One man that will be there, I don't know if he's going to be in the Gulch or not, but I know he'll be in the building for the game, is Darren Eales, the president of Atlanta United. He's getting ready for a match tonight as well as Atlanta United takes on Chicago Fire. 7:30 pregame, 8 o'clock kickoff right here on 92.9 The Game. Darren Eales joins Dukes and Bell every single Tuesday. He joined them yesterday as well, later than normal though, because he was probably watching the England-US game at his normal time. So he joined them a little bit later, and they were able to ask him about that, and that was their first question to Darren Eales. What was your overall takeaway from the US-England match?
Yeah, look, it was an interesting one for me because with England, my heart was going for England. But, you know, I'm in America now and we've got the game on Sunday. So I wasn't disappointed when America won. And look, the American team have the experience and, you know, they're a great team to have done, you know, what they've done in the women's game. But I thought England really pushed them. In second half in particular, you know, there was the offside that was marginal. It was probably the right call in terms of video review, but it was very close. Then they get the penalty, and it's a typical English performance in the World Cup. We miss a penalty and go out. You know, what happens to us all the time. But look, credit to the Americans. You know, they're just, you know, they've been in the best in the world, and to stay at the top for so long is a really incredible achievement.
It is. The VAR, I know social media was going crazy at that point because we know that could have potentially changed the match, but you thought it was the right call.
Look, I thought it was close, and the benefit of the doubt is supposed to go to the attacker, but again, I'm assuming that they had an angle that made it definitive, and you know, you either are offside or you're not. You know, if you've got the technology, then if you can actually sort of zoom in and show it, then you've got to accept it. But I thought, you know, at least they didn't sort of do, you know, some of the over VAR that they've done in other games in the World Cup. Well,
do you know how many cameras they have in those situations? Is it a bunch or is it just like three cameras?
I think they have a minimum of 14 on broadcast regularly, but this will be one that, because it's a semi-final, I'm imagining they had, you know, upwards of 20. So that's why I think they'll have had a definitive one that would have shown that it was offside.
Based on what you've seen from the U.S. so far to date, confident bunch, talented bunch, but confidence level going into the next match, where should that be?
look, it should be high because, you know, they're the team with all the experience. I think this has been a game-changing World Cup, though, because what you've seen is the level of competition now across the world. And, you know, in Europe in particular, there's investment going into the women's game. You can see it with England. England 20 years ago had no team, and now they're challenging America. So I do think, look, hats off to America for what they've done, but it's only going to get harder for them from now on because, you know, you've got these countries that are investing in the game, and I think it's going to be tough for America to keep winning as they have done in the past. But look, they can only win what's in front of them. And good luck to them on Sunday in front of, you know, what would be a big crowd in France, an even bigger crowd here in Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Yep.
It is Darren Eales, president of Our Atlanta United, presented by Aaron's Guys. He normally joins us a little bit earlier in the afternoon, but we pushed him back today because of all that was going on. I want to ask you about the moves that we've made, Emerson Heidman, and what he's going to bring to our club. Because this is one of those moves, and we've been trying to talk about this today, Darren, as it's a depth move. It's not a wow, like, I can't believe we got this guy. But here's a young kid, 23 years old, but with a plethora of experience that comes over. How do you foresee him being used with our club?
Yeah, look, we're really excited to get Emerson. I mean, we feel that 23 years of old, an American midfield player, he's very versatile. So he can play wide, cutting in. He can play any of the midfield positions. You know, he's someone that, you know, had a great career when he started at Fulham, played in the Championship, made the move to Premier League Bournemouth and didn't quite sort of take off there. He went on loan, though, to the Scottish Premier League, played with Rangers and Hibs, and they're tough leagues to go on. And, you know, I like the character of a player that's prepared to go to Scotland and, you know, battle in the muck and nettles and sort of have to sort of work at his craft. So from our perspective, we're really excited. You know, he's someone, we've got him on loan. You know, Bournemouth were fantastic to deal with. I just want to say that, you know, we've had a few deals, as you know, recently that have been tricky. But with Bournemouth, they're a proper professional club. You know, they play in the Premier League. It's amazing, really. Only 14,000 capacity crowd, but they've had 5 years now in the Premier League. But, you know, really good to deal with. We've got him on loan. We're hoping that he's going to do well for us, and then we'll have a chance to perhaps make that a permanent deal.
So you have options, obviously, at the end of this to keep him or do something else.
Exactly, yeah. And the hope is that, you know, he's going to prove his worth and we'll accept, you know, exercise that option.
Well, you look at upcoming ball game against Chicago, a very, very bad team. I mean, what's last seven matches, no wins. Is there anything that may concern you about this matchup, knowing that you have a heavy hitter, main course coming up?
Yeah, firstly, Brian, you've jinxed it already by saying so I'm already worried. But, I mean, it's funny. I mean, Chicago lost to Red Bulls on the weekend, and to be honest, they should have won that game. You know, it's been, when you look at it and the chances they're creating in games, they're just not putting them away. And I think, you know, it's a dangerous game in that sense because, you know, you just don't want it to be the game where all their chances suddenly go in. But, you know, we're in a run of games now. We'll be professional about it. You know, hopefully we can go there and get something because then we have that big match against Red Bulls here on Sunday on the weekend. That's, you know, a huge game for us.
Yeah, a stretch that includes Chicago at Chicago, by the way. To tomorrow, you'll be able to listen to that right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. 7:30 pregame, kick at 8. Sunday, we are home. Now, let's talk about what's going on because not only do we have the Red Bulls, but you are going to have on the Women's World Cup on the Halo board leading into our match, and obviously we are going to be on Big Fox following the Women's World Final.
That's right, so it's great. I mean, firstly, we're going to open the gates at 10:30. It's an 11 o'clock kickoff, so we've got the whole stadium open, so we're hoping to have a big party before the match and cheer on the American, you know, women's team to victory in the World Cup. Then we go straight into our match against Red Bulls. So from a TV audience perspective, it's one of those games where, you know, there's 21 million, I think, watched the World Cup final last time America were there. So even if 20% just accidentally leave their telly on, we're going to have probably one of the biggest ratings in MLS history, which is what we want for our league as we're going, you know, growing the league. So we're really excited about a showcase for the stadium, for our amazing fans. It's a full bowl game as well, so it's going to be a huge audience. We're going to once again, I think, have more watching our, you know, watching the World Cup final in our stadium that actually are at the stadium in France. So it's going to be a fun day.
It really is. That's Sunday, guys. And again, if you can't get down there for whatever reason, pregame at 1:30, kick at 2 on Sunday against the Red Bulls. What do you foresee with Joseph? And does he play tomorrow, do you think? Or that's going to kind of be a wait-and-see thing until Sunday?
Look, I think he'll be a wait-and-see. You know, he has been. He didn't play a lot of minutes. But, of course, you know, there's the traveling, there's the training, there's the, you know, the fact that we're in Brazil and in another continent. So I think, you know, it's going to be a question of, you know, how's he feeling? Is it something where he feels ready? Or, you know, is he feeling that this is something where it's better to wait until the weekend and make sure he's 100%? So I think that's going to be a match day call.
Tito? What about Tito? When he when's he back?
Yeah, I mean, we're still waiting on Tito. We're hoping to get him back sooner rather than later, but it's just, you know, one of those ones with injuries. You never want to rush it and make sure, you know, make sure he gets back fit. So we're hoping that he's going to be back soon, but, you know, it's one of these things where we just have to watch him wait.
Yeah. Okay. Trying to get you caught up on what the injury situation is for Atlanta United. Obviously, Joseph coming back, and everybody's excited that he's back, but now we want to get a chance to see him out there as soon as possible. It's Darren Eales, guys, presented to you by Aaron's, as we have the Darren Eales Report, president of our Atlanta United. So now that we're back, and it seems like we're back in a rhythm, right? We had this match against Toronto. I was on holiday and vacay, as we say. I didn't get a chance to actually witness the match. I was seeing what was going on social media. And it seemed like a lot of people were frustrated, and I was really curious to see how we would bounce back against Montreal. Two words for you, Justin Miram.
Yeah, cool.
How about that?
Yeah, what a goal that was. I mean, it was an absolute peach, wasn't it? The way he just curled into that top corner from that distance. And it was great. You know, Justin, you know, had a point to prove. We did the trade about a month ago for him, and it was his chance to start and make an impression. And, you know, he certainly did that, not only with that goal, but it's funny, he scored a worldie and an absolute sort of one off the toe poke from a yard out, but the toe poke has never been sweeter. That was a great goal to get us the 3 points. You know, and credit to Breck Shea, he came on and the first thing he was doing was setting up the assist from that corner. So, you know, that was just what we needed from Justin, just to lift the team. And, you know, that's what it's going to be about now. We've got a lot of games from now till the end of the season, and it'll be about depth of squad and about certain characters stepping up when it's their moment. And Justin certainly did that for us on the weekend.
Is that your main concern as we look ahead? I mean, you're trying to be focused on the matches that are right in front of you, but you said it. I mean, as the season lays out now, is that your number one concern from a management standpoint as you start to look at how this thing may play?
Yeah, I think, look, the important thing we've spoken about this all along is that we've got to be peaking at the right time. So, you know, how are we playing at the end of the season going into the playoffs? And that's, you know, that's the most important factor. But along the way, you've got to pick up the points. There's no good just turning on a switch and, you know, you haven't made it to the playoffs. So, you know, we'll be looking over the next 17 games to get the points, to sort of improve the squad. You know, at the moment, we're going through a tough patch. Can you think about it? We've got no Barco, no Tito, no Joseph. You know, so for those games, it's been tough. But, you know, the lads have been getting the points and stepping it up. And I think, you know, the exciting thing for us is now, as we build towards the end of the season, integrating those players back in the squad and hopefully, you know, performance is getting better and better as we get to the playoffs. Because
that's Darren Eales from yesterday with Dukes and Bell. Another chance to pick up 3 more points tonight on the road.
Yes.
Against the Chicago Fire. Like we mentioned, pregame at 7:30, kickoff at 8 o'clock right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Jason Longshore from the broadcast team will join us in the 1 o'clock hour. One other soccer-related note, you can join John Fricke, Hugh Douglas, and 92.9 The Game this Sunday from 10 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. at the front porch in Mercedes-Benz Stadium for exclusive coverage of the biggest World Cup final watch party in Georgia, in the state of Georgia, leading up to the Atlantic.
State.
The whole state. The whole thing. It's a big state. 158 counties, Randy. 158 counties in the state of Georgia. The biggest watch party in the entire state leading up to the Atlanta United game against the Red Bulls at 2 o'clock. You can watch the World Cup final. It'll be on the Halo board starting at 11 o'clock. So come out and join us this Sunday from 10 a.m. to 1:30 at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. John and Hugh will be there. You all right? We'll come back and get to the Wendy Zone right after this. Wendy Adams is going to escape the producer's room and join us.
Bang, bang.
Stand in front of a live microphone and talk into it right here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
All right, everybody stand up!
It's time for a look at the world of sports, celebrities, and more. This is the Wendy Zone on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the Midday Show with Andy and Randy here with you on a Wednesday. Coming up in 20 minutes, right at the top of the noon hour, get back into the most important audio in the world and get back into that Chandler Parsons trade as well. The Hawks made a move today, trading Solomon Hill and Miles Plumlee for Chandler Parsons, who our guy BSO on Twitter reminds us has made $70 million for playing 95 games in the last 3 seasons. It's good work if you can get it.
Exactly. Exactly. I ain't mad at him.
No, I'm not either. I'm not the one who had to pay him. I wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't end up being a Hawk this year either, but we'll get into that coming up in 20 minutes. First, Wendy and the Wendy Zone.
And we saw yesterday the U.S. defeat England in the Women's World Cup to advance to the final, and we'll find out who they will play today. The Netherlands and Sweden get underway today, but Alex Morgan celebrating her 30th birthday yesterday, scoring the game-winning goal against England.
Horan sending it in there. Header. Go! Happy birthday, Alex Morgan.
And to celebrate that goal, you saw Alex Morgan sip some tea, sort of, you know, mocking what England does and English like their tea. Well, apparently England didn't like that so much. So yesterday after the loss, Leanne Sanderson, a former player on the England national team who plays for Juventus and is working as a TV analyst, called the celebration distasteful.
Yeah, you know, I think tonight I expected Alex to grab a goal, but I'm not that happy with that celebration. You can celebrate however you want, but that for me is a bit distasteful.
Okay, then.
And I don't think she needs to do that. She can celebrate however she wants, and I'm a big believer in the Americans and how they celebrate, but for me, this was a little bit disrespectful.
It is her 30th birthday, to give her the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, maybe that's why she celebrated like that, but no, that's for me, not why. I think I could be wrong, but it's based upon playing against England, and we love our tea in England. I'm not a tea drinker, but, you know, that's what we're connected with. So I'm a little bit, I think it's a little bit distasteful.
Oh, goodness.
I didn't know English tea had salt in it, so apparently a little salt in English tea.
Go do some with yourself.
That's a hard one.
Go do some. I thought it a little distasteful.
How is it disrespectful?
It's so contradictory, too. She can do whatever she wants to celebrate.
But it's distasteful.
I don't want what she did. Maybe beat him, or don't let her score. It's that easy. She sounded like...
Who was that?
She sounded like the really trashy Spice
Leanne
Girl.
Leanne Sanderson.
Who?
She used to play for England. She plays for Juventus right now.
Kick rocks, all right? How about that?
Salty Spice.
Yeah, that's just...
That's what we're calling her.
Yeah.
Get it? Because the Spice Girls are from England?
Did
you get it.
Did you see some of the trolling going on, though, by English fans on Twitter yesterday? It was very gross.
Was it?
It was just gross. So they all took, I guess, offense to Alex Morgan sipping the tea, and they were... comparing it to some awful things that have happened here in the United States, school shootings, all of that kind of stuff.
Jeez.
Yeah,
wow.
It's if you go on Twitter and
well, they
look
take
at
their
it,
soccer way too seriously in England.
It ain't way too serious, dude. That
but
ain't
that's
got
not
nothing. What does that have to do with the celebration?
No, you're right.
It
you're
bringing
up all that stuff, man.
It has
Come on.
Nothing to do with that. And we've seen worse things happen than sipping tea after goal celebrations.
What's your favorite terrible over the line goal celebration that you've seen? My favorite was, I don't remember the player that did it, but he had been suspended a few times for drugs.
Mm-hmm.
He scored a goal and went to the end line and pretended to snort it up.
Wow.
That's a good celebration.
That's awesome.
I don't think it was Maradona who did that, but it
right.
was somebody.
Like something he'd do, though.
I mean.
Yeah, because, I mean, he was. I mean, you know, and I'm not talking about.
No, he was.
I'm not talking about the snout, and I'm talking about the celebration.
He liked to celebrate.
He liked to celebrate.
In a number of different ways.
Yes, he did.
Yeah. I like soccer celebrations.
I do, too.
You take your shirt off. You do the... running around, you do the choreographed stuff. I like it. It's great.
All right, tomorrow is the 4th of July, so some fun 4th of July facts if you're heading to a barbecue, a Ooh. Cookout, or watching the fireworks. You can just throw these out, and your friends will be super impressed.
You'll be the fun fact bringer to the cookout.
Exactly.
You know, that Andy guy, he was fun. We were just kind of hanging around, and then he started telling us facts about the 4th of July.
He just spewed out this random knowledge, and we were like, whoa.
I'd like to have him back over.
Not because of this.
I think that's what people would say.
Just because of the fun facts.
Boy, did he bring fun facts to the table.
All right. So on the 4th of July, people around the country eat approximately 150 million hot dogs on the 4th of July.
Wow. I believe it.
That's a lot of hot dogs.
Kobayashi and that other guy eat like half of them.
Yeah.
Cody Chestnut.
Can you watch the 30 for 30 yesterday?
I did. I watched it.
Cody Chestnut.
I didn't have a whole lot going on last night. Don't judge me. It was all right.
Not judging.
Kobayashi, man, he's still hurt.
He's butthurt.
By the way that they treated him.
He's so butthurt.
He cried like 15 times on that thing.
Oh,
on
I didn't
on that 30
it.
For 30.
Yeah. That just makes me.
It's very gross.
Yeah.
It's very, very gross. But Joey Chestnut is the best at eating now. So, I mean,
and
there you go.
I guess we'll find out again tomorrow.
Yeah, that's right. Is Kobayashi going to be in it tomorrow?
I'm not sure who's all in it.
Because he had a jaw injury that I think he was making up when he was getting beat by. Anyway, whatever.
Wow.
Watch the 30 for 30. It's fine. It's
you
worth
can see
your time.
Who's on the injured list heading into tomorrow's hot dog eating contest.
Right. Like, really, though.
Oh, that's. Wow, that's unique. Well, the 4th of July is also the number one beer drinking holiday in the United States. We spent approximately $1 billion on beer for tomorrow, plus another $568 million on wine. Which one are you guys contributing to, the beer or the wine?
Well, nobody drinks wine in my house, so you know where I'm going. I got to make a stop. I got to make a stop on the way.
I will be consuming some delicious Amstel Light.
Nice job.
The beer drinker's beer.
Nice.
95 calories, light body, clean finish, Amstel Light. Bring it to your 4th of July party.
Nice transition.
I'm going to be endorsing Amstel Light now.
That sounds great.
I really am going to drink it tomorrow because, you know,
You might as well.
Like Petey Pablo said, I drink it and they're paying me for it.
Exactly.
It's a beer drinking holiday. You might as well do it. There are more than 16,000 fireworks shows on the 4th of July, which cost a total of more than $1 billion. Around 870 people, though, go to the emergency room on fireworks accidents every year. So please be
How careful. Many people?
How many?
870 people.
Oh,
so please be careful.
Just be careful.
Yeah, I thought it'd be more.
Be careful and aim the fireworks away from the house.
And not towards trees.
And away from the trees.
You Anything know, just, flammable.
Just do the ones that stay on the ground.
Or you know, those little
the
like,
poppers,
the
sparklers.
Yeah, the
one toilet paper poppers. Yeah,
that's
cool.
I bet Bo is a big fireworks guy, aren't you? I bet
he looks like he got an arsenal at the house in the back shed.
He's like Roman candles to him are a joke. Yeah. Like he goes, yeah, Roman candle fights. He said we used to have bottle rocket fights. We were idiots when we were kids. He's the one that he's got like mortars. At his house. When he lets them off, it sounds like bombs are going off in Bo's neighborhood. I guarantee you that's what it's like at Bo's house.
All right, well, speaking of America's birthday, I don't know if it gets any more American than this. Andy, I know you're a fan of coffee. Randy, you drink the cold brew?
No, it was the other way around.
Or you just drink the brew?
I don't drink cold brew. He drinks the cold
brew. I drink cold brew.
I drink
you drink
coffee.
The coffee.
Yes.
Well, let me know if you'll drink all this. Coffee. So Pabst Blue Ribbon just launched a new product called Hard Coffee. So it's a can of, quote, vanilla-infused premium iced coffee with 5% alcohol by volume.
Whoa.
So it's a coffee. So right now they're testing it in Pennsylvania, Maine, New Jersey, Florida, and right here in Georgia.
All the places where people will drink anything.
Yep.
Would you guys try it?
I'll try it.
An alcoholic hard,
I'll give it a try.
Like coffee.
You know what would be a great place to have that would be tailgates.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's morning time.
Early games,
Maybe something we try out at the Wade Ford tailgate show next year. Hmm. I'll drink some of that. What is it, PBR?
It's PBR,
PBR
yes.
iced coffee.
Does it get any better than that?
You lost me with the PBR.
I'll try it.
Yeah.
I'll try anything once.
You got to try it.
I had one of those Natter Days, you know, those natural lights that are flavored like whatever.
Yeah.
What are they flavored? Like peaches or something? It was disgusting.
I remember you told me that.
I tried it.
You told me that.
Pink lemonade. Yeah, it's really bad.
Yeah,
really
you told
not
me
good.
That.
I just want to know how many until you're like, you're really feeling it on these PBR.
5%? I mean, that's like a beer.
Yeah.
So you have to have
like
a couple of them.
Like a White Claw?
Yeah. Or exactly. Like a, like a normal whatever size of that. A beer, wine, something like that. Yeah, I would, you have a couple of them. You probably feel it.
Well, we found out she has a type. So, you know, Olivia Culpo, we were talking about all the drama that went on between her and Danny Amendola. She's also dated Tim Tebow.
Oh.
Well, do you guys want to take a guess about the new NFL player she is linked to?
So Danny Amendola and Tim Tebow. So she got a type.
She's got a type. Football players. So she,
white guys.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. White guys?
Yeah, white football players.
So she is now spending time with somebody in the NFC South. I will tell you a running back.
A running back in the NFC South?
NFC South.
Christian McCaffrey.
Ah.
Christian McCaffrey.
There's really only one option.
Yeah.
So
is
apparently,
Devin Hester still out there? Yeah. No, not Devin Hester. What's his name? Chris Hester still out there?
So she's 27, he's 23. Apparently they exchanged Instagram likes back in May, which is a really big deal, Randy.
Oh, you're talking about Jacob Hester.
Jacob
My
Hester.
Man Jake, yeah.
Is Jacob Hester still out there?
No, Jake's working down in Baton Rouge.
That's what I meant.
Yeah.
So apparently after they exchanged likes, they've been friends on Instagram since April, which is a really big deal, Randy. I know it's not a big deal for you. But yeah, they've been spotted recently spending time together. So Olivia Culpo has moved on to Christian McCaffrey.
Good for him, I guess.
I don't know what she looks like.
Yeah.
She used to be, I think, Miss USA. I forget. What
Olivia pageant. Culpo.
Culpo.
Yeah, right. good for young Christian.
Yeah, she was Miss USA 2012.
Yeah, good for you, young Christian.
She's a pretty lady.
Just know what she is.
I don't know. Christian McCaffrey just looks so young.
She's going to get bored with you, bro. All right. Get bored with you.
No, as long as you don't cheat on her.
Is that what Julian Edelman did?
Danny Amendola.
Oh, Danny Amendola.
It's a rumor that he cheated on her. He was just laying by the pool with some chick beside him.
Come on.
There was no evidence that he ran around on her. Just sitting in the pool with a
Maybe
chick.
She had evidence herself that wasn't available online.
Possibly. What you looking like that for, Wendy? I didn't say nothing. I just said we don't know if he actually
cheated. She has a very narrow, specific type.
She does.
White. Like skill position guys.
Yeah.
There's like seven of them in the entire NFL. She's already dated two of them. Yeah. That's crazy. Well, if they break up, who's she going to date next?
Who is next?
Who's that guy, Andy? What's his name?
Cooper Kupp.
Cooper Kupp's married,
Wait,
though.
Austin oh, no, Hooper. Right.
Austin Hooper.
There we go.
There you go. We found you a girlfriend, Austin. Just out here helping people
patient.
Out. Thank you, Wendy. Wendy will be back in an hour for Word Association. Coming up next, though. Time to get to the most important audio in the entire universe to kick off the noon hour. Right here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.